Returning this evening to the New Testament and to the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. Ephesians in the chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we want to speak tonight on the subject of the glory of the gospel. And we'll read from the verse number 15 of this chapter, Ephesians chapter 1, and the verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Amen. May God bless the word of God read to in our hearing this evening. Before we come to the preaching of the word of God, we want to still our hearts again. A word of prayer. And let's ask the Lord to speak to each and to every one of us this evening as we come around his word. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank thee for thy presence with us. We thank thee, Lord, for these hymns that we have been singing together. Our Father, we pray now that as we come to thy precious word, Lord, as we consider this glory of the gospel tonight, we pray, Lord, that this night our hearts might be thrilled and our hearts will be encouraged. O God, we pray that tonight you'll give us that help. Open, Lord, the eyes of our understanding. Lord, help us to behold the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory and all of his splendor. We pray, Lord, for those in this meeting still in bondage and in sin, O God, we pray that this night, that by thy Holy Spirit, you would open their eyes that they might see Christ, they might see their sin, that they might see the only Savior from their sin being in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, bless thy word to our hearts tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. There can be no greater theme or greater focus for conversation or consideration than the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Too often we can forget and we can neglect those matters that relate to the gospel of Christ. And yet even if we were to spend all of our time, taking up of our time, thinking of all that God and Christ has done for us, all that the gospel entails, it would still never be enough. Such are the depths of the riches of God in Christ. Such is the glory of the gospel. Think that we who had turned our back on God, who had rejected and rebelled against a holy God, that in love and mercy Christ came, shed his blood, gave his life, that we might saved. Paul sums up this great change that the gospel brings in the life of the one who is saved by the grace of God in verse number 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. And he speaks there about us being blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Such are the blessings of the gospel. Such is the glory of the gospel. That is very much a theme in this book of Ephesians. As Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, he points out and he speaks often about the riches that the Christian has in Christ. For all those who are redeemed and ransomed and saved from sin, we have, as the hymn writer says, riches more than this world can buy. The key to treasure in the sky, oh bless the Lord, I've Jesus. And it is this theme of riches and glory that Paul returns to here at the end of this chapter, number 1, and especially there in verse number 18, where he speaks about the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What an investment, what an interest God has in his redeemed people. That we would have the riches of heaven and the glory of God within us. However, today, we must be faithful and we must point out that these riches of which Paul speaks of here is not the common lot of all people. Despite the popular thinking that is about in society today of this universal blessing of God upon all people, this is blessing, this is glory reserved for those who are in Christ. You see, tonight in this meeting, if you're still in your sin, tonight in this meeting, if sin still separates you and cuts you off from God, then you know nothing of this glory. You know nothing of these riches. You know nothing of the change that the gospel brings into a life. You've never experienced it. And you're missing out tonight on all that God has in store in the gospel. Tonight God wants to bless your life. God desires to save you and to give you life and purpose and satisfaction and joy. All of those things that are found in Christ. And yet tonight you hold on to your sin. Yet tonight for all that we will think of this evening and all the glory of the gospel, you still love your sin too much and you won't let go of your sin, and you're missing out on life's greatest blessing, the blessing of the gospel, the blessing of Christ in your life. The joy of sins forgiven, of peace with God and pardon from sin. It's my prayer, it's my desire tonight that as we glimpse, and we will only be able to glimpse into something of the glories of the gospel as seen in these verses, it's my prayer and my desire that you will see just what you do not have. And that by the work of God's Holy Spirit, you may be brought to that place where you see your need of Christ and see your need to be saved. Tonight may your spiritual eyes be opened to the dreadful, awful condition that you're in because of sin. But more than that, tonight may you see the glory of Christ and the splendor and the beauty of the Son of God, the only Savior, your only hope for heaven, your only assurance of happiness. You see, it was Paul's desire that we all might know, and especially the people of God might understand and appreciate all the more all that we have in Christ, all that the gospel entailed and all that the gospel encompassed. Dear sinner, tonight you think you have all that you need. Tonight you think that you don't need anything more. Tonight you believe your life is just fine the way it is. And yet tonight you have nothing, because you do not have Christ. And therefore, as we go through these thoughts this evening, and as we look at some of these verses in Ephesians chapter 1, that you might see the glory of the gospel. And sinner, this night, that you might look away to Christ and turn away from your sin, and that this night you might embrace and by faith receive Jesus Christ, as he has offered to us in the gospel. So as we consider the glory of the gospel this evening, and as we go through these thoughts, I want you always to keep in mind that the glory of the gospel is seen most especially in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior and our only Redeemer. First thing I want you to see here, the first glory of the gospel is the faith. The faith that the gospel secures. In verse number 15, Paul, writing to these Ephesian Christians, he tells them of the testimony of their faith. He says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus." He tells them that he has heard of their faith. You see, their faith was real. Their faith was demonstrated. People today say that Christianity is only a dead religion. But faith in Jesus Christ, as we will see this evening, is a real faith, a living faith. And a faith that ought to be and must be played out in our daily walk and talk, that others might see our faith, that others might see what we have in Christ. And so Paul here tells them that he has heard of their faith. Such has been the demonstration of their life and their walk of faith. But what is this faith? Well, it is the faith of the gospel. And what is that? Well, the faith of the gospel is that faith whereby a sinner, by the working of the Spirit of God, experiences and receives Jesus Christ. You see, this faith spoken of here in verse number 15 is first and foremost a saving faith. Saving faith in Christ's atoning work. It's not faith in anything. It's not faith in everything. It is faith that is focused, that is centered on Christ. That is saving faith. That is the faith that Paul speaks of here. That is the faith that these people had and the faith that Paul had heard of. In today's generation and society, we hear of many faiths. We live in a multi-faith society. Faith of all types. Faith of all descriptions. Faith in people, many of whom are dead. Faith in organizations. Faith in programs. Faith in religions. But none of those are the faith that is spoken of here in the Scriptures. And in fact, the Word of God knows nothing of, or knows only one faith, and that is faith alone in Jesus Christ. Because you see, if there is no faith in Jesus Christ, then it is not faith at all. It's only a sham. Because while tonight many people will talk about many faiths and multi-faiths, there is only one true living faith, and that is faith alone in Jesus Christ. Many have faith, a faith, but not all have the faith. This faith spoken of here, this faith of the gospel, faith alone in Christ. The Lord Himself said, all men have not faith. All men do not have this saving faith in Jesus Christ. You go out onto the streets of our city tonight and you ask people, what are you depending upon? Where is your faith tonight? And they will give you a multiplicity of different things that they are depending upon. Different ways by which they believe that at the end of the day they will get to heaven. And yet, sadly, so few have this faith, this saving faith in Jesus Christ. This faith of the gospel. Of course, it was that faith which was one of the cardinal leading aspects of the Reformation. Faith alone in Christ alone. Not faith in a system of works, not faith in some religious organization, but it was faith alone in Christ alone. That is the only means of salvation. It was in Luther's day, it was in Paul's day, and it still is today. There is only one way that, sinner, you can be right with God, and that is by a saving, living faith in Jesus Christ. And it's not a mental assent. It's a work in the heart. You might say to me, I believe everything you say. And I don't dispute anything that you say. But the reality and the question that needs to be asked, have you ever by faith received Christ? Yes, you know he's your only hope. Yes, you know he's your only Savior. But has there been that time, that moment, when by faith you have received Jesus Christ? You don't grow into salvation. You are saved in an instant, the moment you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The jailer that night in the city of Philippi came under great conviction of sin, and he was troubled for his soul. He felt his own unworthiness, and what did he do? He cried out, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And what was the answer? Believe. Faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believing faith, saving faith. But we need to go a little more and say that it's not just simply faith that saves, it's where our faith is that saves. Because notice what the apostle says there in verse 15. He said, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. It is faith in Christ that saves. You could have all the faith in a church, in some organization, but it will never, never save. It is faith alone in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross that will save us. Faith in Christ. Not just any faith, but the faith. Let me ask you, therefore, tonight, where is your faith? Well, let me put it another way to you. What are you depending upon for salvation? Because if your faith is not grounded and centered alone in Jesus Christ, then you do not have this saving faith. The hymn writer said, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And the problem is tonight, sinner, in this meeting, you're on sinking sand and slipping more and more closer to the day of eternity without this faith. You slip out into eternity without Christ, you die without him, and you'll be lost for all eternity because you do not have this faith. You have no faith for the life after this life. You have no faith beyond the grave. You're simply living for the moment, and no faith, no hope in God's eternity. Because you see, tonight, faith in Christ brings hope. Faith in Jesus Christ brings assurance and brings peace. Because when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, when you turn from sin, you abandon your sin and you forsake your sin and you cast your all upon Christ, and by faith you receive him, it brings hope, it brings assurance, it brings peace. In Colossians chapter 1, and the verse 23, Paul instructs the people there, and he says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Notice the two thoughts there in connection, faith and hope. And again, faith is in Christ. That's the only faith spoken of in the scriptures. Faith. Because of that faith, then there is hope. The hope of the gospel. Paul makes the connection, and rightly so, between faith and hope. Because saving faith brings real hope. Saving faith brings real assurance. Sadly, this evening our society sees no hope. Sadly, so many today in our community see no light. They feel that there's nothing to this light. There is no hope. Why? Because they do not have the faith in Jesus Christ. They're still blinded and bound to their sin. And they have concluded that there is no hope to be found in this world. But praise God, tonight the glory of the gospel is that there is hope. There is assurance. There is peace to be found. And it will never be found in this old world. In this world tonight, there's nothing but emptiness and loneliness. In this world tonight, there is nothing but a life that is void of purpose and void of direction. But tonight, the gospel, the hope of the gospel, saving faith in the gospel brings hope, brings life, brings purpose, brings direction, and it brings peace to the troubled soul. You see, it is saving faith that justifies the believing sinner. It is saving faith that takes the sinner and all of their sin, and cleanses them from their sin and makes them a child of God. It is saving faith that dispels the fear and the bondage. It is saving faith that brings peace to the troubled soul, because it's only saving faith that can bring peace with God. There is no other way. Paul again, writing to the church at Rome, and he said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Being justified by faith, then, we have peace. Would you not want this faith tonight? Would you not want this hope tonight, this peace tonight? Well, in the gospel you can. Because tonight you can have this faith in Christ. There is a believing, but there also needs to be a forsaking. There needs to be a repenting. And you see, I think that's where so many people fall down. Because they want to hold on to the old sinful life. They want to hold on to the old sinful relationships. They want to have a little bit of the world. Don't want to turn from the world. Don't want to turn from sin. Oh yes, we'll believe, all right, but don't ask me to forsake my sinful life. Well listen, if you don't forsake, if you don't repent, then there's no salvation. You can't believe in Christ and still hold on to your sin. It doesn't work. When the Spirit of God takes a dealing with you, when the Holy Spirit of God brings you under such conviction of your sin, then you won't care about your old sinful life. You'll be willing to give it up in order to have this peace with God. What glories await those who repent and believe the gospel. Tonight, sinner, what glories are yours if you will but leave your sin and by faith receive Jesus Christ. You need this faith. Faith in Christ. Repentance from sin, because without it there is no salvation, and without it there is no heaven. So there is the faith that the gospel secures. But I want you to notice something more here, another glory of the gospel, and that is the favor that the gospel procures. The favor that the gospel procures. In verse 18, at the very end of the verse, it talks about the inheritance in the saints, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, notice the words here very carefully, because it's not primarily talking about the saints' inheritance in the Lord and what a rich inheritance that is. Very specifically, he's speaking here about the Lord's inheritance in the saints, the glory of God, the riches of God, the glory of the gospel in the life of the believer. What's he talking about? He's talking about the blessings that salvation brings, the favor that salvation brings. Yes, it's seen in the pardon from sin. It flows from it, the forgiveness, the mercy, and the peace of God. But most succinctly, it's summed up in that little phrase there in verse 18, His inheritance in His saints. To think that God would dwell in us. To think that God should have an interest and a concern toward us. To think that we who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ are His inheritance. The privileges that the believer enjoys through Christ are beyond description. We are the children of God tonight. Dear believer, this evening, no matter who you are or what you are, no matter what standing or not you have in this society, you are the child of God because of saving faith in Jesus Christ. Dear believer, tonight, hell you will never see. Dear child of God, tonight, one who is resting and trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you will never be lost in the caverns of the damned. But you will be with Christ for all eternity. That hope, that assurance that we were speaking of a little time ago. We are the Lord's inheritance. Such are the blessings that salvation brings. The Lord, through Christ, sees His people as a tremendous asset. And what privileges are ours in Christ. We are heirs with God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're in union with Him. We're no longer strangers to God, no longer in our sin, but we are in Christ. We have access to God through Christ. We can call upon the name of the Lord in prayer to aid us and to strengthen us and to help us. We have the assurance of His presence with us to guide us and to lead us. We have the security that we'll never be lost, that we'll never be separated from God, because whom God saves, God also keeps. When the dark and the dreary days come in our Christian life and in our walk with God, we have the promise of the Lord to defend us and to protect us. As we were singing this evening, we have that promise that He will never leave us. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Folks, these are only but a few of the blessings that salvation brings. Only a few of the favor and the privileges that the believer enjoys. Such was the value that the Lord placed upon your life, that the Lord came to redeem you. He came to purchase you from the slave market of sin. In verse number 14, at the end of the verse, it talks there about His purchased possession. We are the purchased possession of God through Christ. What an immense value He placed upon your soul, dear child, that He sent His Son to save you. Give His life, shed His blood. Why? That you might be saved. Dear sinner, tonight in this meeting, you know nothing of these blessings. You know nothing of the favor of God. You see, tonight without God, you live a miserable, meager existence without Christ. You have no joy. You have no peace. You have no satisfaction. Oh, you say, I do. I beg to differ. Because outside of Christ, there is no real joy. Outside of Christ, there is no peace. Because, dear sinner, tonight there is a vacuum and an emptiness in your heart and a void in your life. And tonight you know it. And that void can only be filled by God, Christ. That emptiness can only be met by the Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious gospel that He brings. You do not have the favors of the gospel because you do not have Christ. Tonight you're missing out on the greatest blessings of life. You're missing out on the blessings of God's salvation. You only have an existence. You do not have life. because there is only one real life. There's only one true life, one life with joy, and that is to be found in Christ. Dear sinner, this evening, you are miserable. And dear unconverted one, you will continue to be miserable until you come and receive Jesus Christ as your Saviour. There is the faith that the gospel secures. There is the favour that the gospel procures. But finally, as we close, notice another glory of the gospel. Because there is the future that the gospel assures. The future that the gospel assures. Verses 19 through to 20, they speak of the power of the gospel. It says there, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. See the power in the gospel? Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. The power of the gospel, the mighty working power of the gospel that changes and transforms life. This is what we were speaking of this morning. This is our belief in the Bible. This is our belief in the Word of God. That it's only through the Word of God and the Christ who is revealed in that Word that lives can be changed and impacted for eternity. That power which took Christ from the grave. Look at verse 20. Raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Christ was exalted to heaven. Christ is at the Father's right hand in glory. And for all those who receive Jesus Christ, who have this faith in Christ, who enjoy the favor that the gospel brings, there is a future. And that future is with Christ. You see, heaven was barred to Christ when he took our sin. But when that price for sin was paid, when Christ shed his precious blood, then heaven opened and he entered heaven. How did he enter heaven? On the basis of his blood. Christ entered heaven through his blood. That blood which satisfied the wrath of God and secured heaven for all who will believe in him. Hebrews 9, verses 11, 12. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, heaven, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but listen, by his own blood, he entered. Christ entered heaven, the basis of the blood. Just as Christ entered heaven that way, so shall every redeemed soul, when it comes our time to leave this world behind, we will enter heaven on that same basis, on the blood of Jesus Christ. Faith, trusting, resting, relying on Christ. Heaven is ours tonight because of Christ, because of the power that Christ brought. That brought Christ from the dead, and that power of the gospel that took the repentant, believing sinner from the deadness of sin and placed them in heavenly places in Christ. And one day that will lead us home to heaven for all eternity. Child of God, today we have a future brighter than this world could ever get. And despite all that happens and despite all that goes on around us, praise God, this world is not our eternal abiding place. One day we will go to be with Christ. Where Christ is, we will be. Why? Because of faith, saving faith in him. That is the climax of all the favors that the gospel brings to the believing sinner. An eternal rest and residence in heaven with Christ forevermore. That is the confidence, that is the assurance that only the gospel can bring. There is no other message that can give you assurance tonight of heaven. There is no other gospel that can give you this assurance of that bright future. The Apostle Paul was able to say with certainty and clarity and say to depart and to be with Christ. He knew that when it would come his time to leave this world behind, he would go to be with Christ. That was his future. It was assured, was certain. Listen tonight, anything short of Christ, anything other than the gospel of Christ cannot give you this assurance, cannot give you this confidence. If you do not have the saving faith in Christ, then you do not have this assurance of heaven. Sinner, you have a future too. But your future is very different. In this meeting tonight, you're here without Christ. The only future that you have right now is a future in a lost hell for all eternity. While heaven speaks of splendor and wonder and glory, and the anthems that ring there, it hell speaks of a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's your future. That rich man in Luke 16, who was in torments in that awful place. Sinner, tonight, I say in love to your soul, that's your future. That's what you have to look forward to. But tonight, because of the power of the gospel, your life can be changed and turned around. If you will come tonight by faith, receive Jesus Christ, your future can be taken away from that awful place called hell, and your future can be guaranteed in heaven. One day we'll all leave this world behind. One day we will take that final step, as we spoke of a few weeks back. But where will that step take you? If you were to take that step tonight between you and death, where would that step take you? Take you to heaven? Have you faith in Christ? Have you turned from your sin? Or would it take you to a lost eternity? Where will your final step in this life take you? In God's eternity. This evening, tonight, the invitation of the gospel is given, come. Come unto me. That glorious gospel word, come. And it come means just come the way you are. You don't have to go away and try to live a better life. You don't have to go away and try to clean up your life, turn your life around by your own efforts. You might be able to do that for a little time, but it will never last. It's only the gospel. It's only Christ that's going to change your life and give you a new direction and give you a new destiny. The glorious gospel of saving faith in Jesus Christ. There's nothing to compare to it. There is no other message like it. But there is no salvation without it. Do you have this faith? Do you have and enjoy the favor? Do you have this assurance of a future? If not, then tonight come. Sinner, don't step out into the darkness of another night without this faith, without hope. Don't step out into the darkness of this night without Christ. Tonight, come and be saved. Let's bow in prayer.